Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I am going to preach a sermon that God has been dealing with me about for at least 6 weeks. And I'm going to go to 2 Kings. We're going to read two verses out of chapter 6 and then a verse out of chapter number 7. And then we're going to mill around in there and we're going to use some other supporting scriptures in the Word of God. This is a time and a place where they were in lockdown and they were having supply chain problems. Does it sound familiar? It's just the way it was. It wasn't a virus, but it was an enemy, and they locked them down. And we don't know exactly for how long, but the city was locked down long enough that they'd run out of food. They didn't have any food. They couldn't even get Amazon drones to drop anything in. It was done. It was over it. They were in the walled city of protection. And sometimes we go to our place of protection. And when we go to our place of protection, we think we're going to be all right. But a place of protection can become a place of prison. Just like we spoke of late last year, how that Gideon chased the kings, enemy kings out of the land, and they found a cave and they locked themselves in the cave for protection, but the cave became their grave because on the way back, he rolled back the stone and he killed them and then he hung them. And so your cave can become your grave. Our place that we run to for refuge can be a place that becomes a place of bondage. And so I wanted to preface my sermon with those remarks because we can all in context begin to understand that because we locked down for a while. The last couple years, and we went away, and I told my wife when we heard they were locking down for this coronavirus back in March of 2020, I said, we better get it right in the next month or the church is not going to survive. And I think we got it right. I think we're doing well, and God is blessing us, and people prophesied to me. I have a person that prophesies into my life about the church, and everything they said came true, and a lot of positive things have happened over the last 2 years that we have seen God do miraculous things, marvelous things, and hey, we're still here today. I don't know of one member of our congregation that died of COVID. Now, there were some extended family members that passed away, but they didn't pass away of COVID. It was just life. And so we could stay living in fear, or we can determine that we're going to make a new statement and a bold statement. So let's read out of 2 Kings chapter number 6 and 24. And it came to pass after this, then Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. That's 80 pieces of silver. And the fourth part of a cab of dung's dove for 5 pieces of silver. So he's saying, it got so bad that we were paying almost 3 times the price of a slave for a donkey's head to eat. Now, that's something they shouldn't have been eating. Anybody want donkey head soup? I don't think so. But they were up in the ante, and then they had to pay 5 pieces of silver for the bird dung so they could cook it. Yeah, this grill. Let's go camping, huh? We'll be survivalists. I mean, things were bad. It wasn't easy in the city. And then we move on to chapter number 7 and verse number 3, and we'll visit this holistically. It says, and there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said to one another, why sit we here until we die? So everybody's locked down in the city, and there's a few guys that are outside the city, 4 guys, and they said, it's bad in there, and it's bad out here, but we've got to do something. We've got to do something. And so they took a risk. So my question to you is, why sit we here? I'm not just going to let life overtake me. I'm not just going to be a victim of my circumstances. I refuse to be a victim anyway. I'm going to do something. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go into the enemy's camp. And I'm going to take back what he took from me. Is anybody on a mission with me today? We're going to take back what the enemy, we're going to take back our joy and our freedom and our love and our life and our passion for reaching the lost. You may be seated. War, it was a way of life. It was not far away, but right at home. It was affecting their lifestyle. Lives were being lost outside by the sword and inside by starvation. It looked as if the battle had been lost, and by human judgment, they as a city were destined for death and destruction. And this happened to be the capital city of a few tribes, the 10 southern tribes of Israel. And so they were waiting for the end. They were starving. A nation was dying. People were desperate. War changes values and personalities, and strange things happen to people during a time of war. They think different. They act different. We justify things that we never would have justified doing in war, whether good or bad. And they ate donkey's dung. They ate donkey's heads cooked by dung from the animals. Inside the walls, it said a liter of wild vegetables was selling for $3. Now, let's put this in concept. I don't know if you, anybody bought a candy bar lately? How much did you pay?
$1.25.
You got ripped off. How big was your Snickers bar? Yeah. Remember when Snickers bars used to be this long? I know I was a little kid, but they were huge. And I used to go to the corner store and I'd buy a Snickers bar for a nickel. And six for a quarter and eat them before I got home. That's why I have a lot of cavities in my teeth. That's why I was hyperactive. Maybe all the other stuff that happened when I was a kid. So they were these long old, it's what we would call giant size or king size. We got, that wasn't king size, that was kid size when I was a little kid. So if you put it in concept, a nickel candy bar, $1.25 for a candy bar. So for that price, I could have got 30 candy bars when I was a kid. So when you're talking 80 pieces of silver, a slave sold for 30 pieces of silver. A slave sold. Somebody that would give their life to do whatever you asked them to do. And all you had to give them was bare minimal existence, and they would work for you. They were paying the price of a slave almost times three just for something to eat. And they were eating and devouring their own children. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 26 through 33, the story is told as the king's out for a walk. I don't know what he's doing out for a walk, but he's walking around the city. And as he's walking around the city, this woman cries out and says, "Help, king, help, my lord." And the next verse says that he said, "Oh, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" And verse 28 says, "And the king said to her, 'What aileth thee?' And she said, 'The woman said unto me, give thy son, and we will eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.'" So it was bad enough that they were eating their children. It had been a long, hard time. You see, when war happens, when siege comes in, when we're locked down and there's supply chain problems, we think different, don't we? Anybody notice the tendency to think a little different than you thought a couple years ago, and you're going, "Okay, is it going to run out? Do we need to run and buy toilet paper again? Do we need to get to the store?" And somebody said, "Oh, the store shelves aren't empty." And I have a friend, a pastor friend, who posted the pictures of the store in his city, and they're just swept clean again. And you're wondering, what's going on? Is it going to be all right? And there's things that my wife goes to the store that we usually get, hairspray. It hasn't been found for weeks and weeks and weeks, the kind of hairspray we wanted. I went to Starbucks this morning, and they didn't have chocolate syrup for their mocha. So I went down the street to the next Starbucks and they didn't have it. So I had to go to Black Rock, and it was actually pretty good. It was a Mexican mocha. It's pretty decent. And I thought, well, they may have a new customer at Black Rock. It's like, how does Starbucks run out of chocolate syrup? I mean, that's a big part of their business. And so I said, well, maybe I'll have to go somewhere else. That's what I said, because I always voice my opinion and says, well, I'm going to have to go to Black Rock or Dutch Bros. And away I went through the line and exited and until I found what I wanted. We think different. We go different places. We look for solutions. These people were locked down. And the problem was, the lady's complaint was, is now she hit her child and I'm hungry. Hungry to eat a kid? I mean, our world is in desperate situations. We've seen some of the chaos on the streets, and it's a combination of things that have happened. It's people are doing kooky things. We see the crime that has escalated in our city and major cities across North America, but it's not just relegated to the cities. It's a mindset that is taking over our generation because the spirit of darkness has come in. And if there's not light in the heart, then the darkness comes and it captures and it overwhelms what is going on in the individual's life. So the king was said this, I know what the problem is. It's the problem is the preacher. It's Elisha, the prophet. Do you know why? It's because Elisha the prophet said, if you don't straighten up your act, you're going to go into captivity. And so he's thinking, well, he said it and it happened, so he's the problem, rather than self-examination. Today is not a day to look at everybody's problems and who else's problems and their fault, but it's a time of introspection and say, what am I going to do during this circumstance? What am I going to do right now? Am I just going to sit here and die? Am I going to change my morals? And that's what those women had done in order to survive. They gave up the next generation to save their generation. That's unnatural. That's not it at all. So he says, I'm going to find Elisha and I'm going to kill him. But when he finds Elisha in chapter number 7, verse number 1, what does Elisha have to say? It's not negative, it's positive. Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. He said, it looks really bad right now, but tomorrow it's going to be really good. And a shekel is just, it's the lowest. Well, a half shekel is the smallest denomination that you could get. A shekel was a week's worth of wages. He says, instead of spending 3 lifetimes worth of a slave's price to get donkey's head to eat, you're going to have flour. You're going to have everything you need. How is it that it can turn around so fast? Because God is involved. And if God is involved and you and I engage in God's plan, then God is not stuck. He's not in a rut. It's like Brother Brandon said. He's not shocked at all by this. Not, God's not saying, oh my goodness. Or like you'd say, oh my God. People say that all the time. I don't think that's a good idea. But he says, oh my goodness. Oh, that's me. I got to find out a solution. Oh no, what am I going to do with this world that I created? God wasn't shocked at all. God's not shocked at all but what's going on our earth. He's ready. He's willing. He's waiting. And just so you know, we have had many prophetic utterances over this church. And God has spoken considering the last days of his church. And God's not saying we're going to go out weak and anemic and shriveled up and dead. No, we're going to go out. The latter days are going to be greater than the former days. He said the last days of my church are going to be the greatest days of my church. But then something interesting happens. Is that The man that's standing in the gate, we read out of the verse 3, or verse 2, he says, oh, if the heavens were opened, that could not happen. So there's a guy guarding the gate. I don't know what for. Nobody wants to go out. And the army doesn't need to come in. All they need to do is starve them out. And there they are waiting. And the prophecy comes. And this guy that's in charge of the gate that works for the king says, if the windows of heaven were open, this could not be. Hey, do you know what's in heaven? Our Father that art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Our sustenance comes from God. Heaven's sustenance is unending. Heaven's supply is never diminished. He just keeps giving it out and it just keeps coming. God's never going to be broke. No, God's never going to find himself short and say, oh, I left my wallet at home. Can you buy today? No, God is my supply. We read it earlier. The Lord is my portion. He is my portion. God is my portion. But on the outside, some other scenario is coming. There's four lepers. Numbers chapter 12 and verse number 10 tells how that Miriam, when she made fun of Moses and she complained because he married a woman that was an Egyptian and she didn't like the race of that person, God gave her leprosy. And she had to go outside the camp. We see just a few chapters before in 2 Kings chapter number 5, verses 26 and 27, that Gehazi was the servant of the prophet, and the prophet had spoken to Naaman, remember, that was the Assyrian, and said, oh, he has leprosy, and we talked about this, and he says, go wash in the River Jordan, and he doesn't want to do it because the River Jordan's muddy, but eventually he's convinced to do it, and he dips 7 times, and he comes up, and his skin is as fresh as a baby's, and he wants to reward the prophet, and the prophet said, no, you can't buy a miracle. And so he sends him on his way, and Gehazi, the servant, follows him and says, hey, my master changes his mind. He doesn't want the 10 changes of garment, and he doesn't want all of it, but just a couple wedges of silver and a couple of changes of garment. And they helped him back to the city. And when it got to the hill, just in sight just barely out of sight of the prophet's house, he said, I'll take it from here. And he goes and hides it. And this is what happens. He says, where have you been? And verse 26, he says, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. So leprosy was a symbol of God's rejection and of sin and rebellion. So you got these people locked down on the inside, and you got these outcasts on the outside. Ever felt like an outcast?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, good. I'm glad. We're pilgrims and strangers. We really don't belong here. We're just passing through. We're going to a city whose builder and maker is God. This is just a transitional stage in our spiritual development. Yes, one day we're going to shed this body and we're going to have a new body. One way we're going to get a new mind and we're going to get a new name and we're going to live in a new place and a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's the promise of God. But so you got these outcasts, these lepers. These people that are useless, they threw them out before there ever was a famine. And the lepers are on the outside, but desperate people do unique things. They're saying, hey, if we go into the inside of the city, we're going to die. If we go to the outside, to the enemy's camp, they may kill us, but we're starving. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the enemy's camp. In the Old Testament, cities were built this way. All of the gardens and all of the farms were on the outside. And then there were walls to protect the people. They'd go work the farm. They'd come back to the city. They'd shut the gates. They'd go in. They'd have protection. That guy that was in charge of the gate was in charge of all of the soldiers. He'd already failed. At least he kept people safe inside the city, but they were starving. But now these guys are locked on the outside. Because the enemy has harvested their crops or destroyed their crops. And their enemy is not just working on their city. They've been to many cities. The enemy is not just fighting against you and I. So if you think about it this way with me, he's busy. Yeah. You're not his only foe.
Yeah.
He's got his hands full. Because there's millions of believers around this world that he's trying to trip up, that he's trying to starve out, that he's trying to mess with their mind. And he's not going to be able to keep up because God is on our side. And you see, you and I are not living in sin. We're not in captivity. It's just something that's in our mind. The enemy may want you to think that, hey, nobody wants to be saved. Everybody's afraid to come to church because of COVID. Everybody's afraid to take risks and chances. But people are looking for God. They're looking everywhere. Why do you think crime is on the rise? Why do you think drug use is on the rise? Why do you think all of that is going on? Because people are looking for something to satisfy their hearts. So in a time of war, crazy things happen. And these men are so desperate, they say, you know what? We don't care. We're going to go out in a blaze of glory. And they said, why sit we here till we die? We'll get up and go into the enemy's camp. There's nothing to lose and everything to gain. I hope, I pray that you and I as believers for this season, for the 2022 year, as our mindset changes, that we say, I'm not just going to sit here and take it. I'm going to do something. I'm going to go to the enemy's camp and take back what he took from me. I'm going to take back my joy. I'm going to take back my gladness. I'm going to take back everything that he stole from me. Life, hope, victory, food, and plenty. Their wildest dreams were going on in their mind. These were desperate men. These weren't faith-filled men. They were desperate men. I'm not talking about you and I believe in God for something. I'm just talking about let's go do something.
Yeah.
And God says, if we will do something, he will work with this. He said to the disciples, go and these signs shall follow. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll lay hands on the sick. All of this thing will happen. That's what happens in our life. God doesn't go and do it and then we follow him. He says, you go and I'll follow you. And these signs shall follow them that believe. We have got to act and God will respond from heaven. I am so glad that God is in charge. I am so glad that God is doing what he should do. I am so glad that he is working for us. I am so glad that he is working when I can't see him working. And then the astonishing things happens in the ensuing verses is the Bible says that these lepers, these outcasts, these guys that probably had fingers missing and part of their nose gone, these people that were crippled by the disease that had struck them. Hey, don't look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm the best specimen, therefore God's going to use me. No, he's going to use what's left of you to do something miraculous in this world. You look at the disciples, he didn't choose them because they were perfect. He chose them in their flawed state. And he says, I'll make something. I'll make you fishers of men. And when they got to the camp, it was quiet. All but the crackling of the fire and the baying of the donkeys and the whinnying of the horses. And they've got to the edge of the camp, but I can't imagine what they were thinking as they saw the flickering flames. It was evening time. They were going in at evening time. I don't know if they thought they'd sneak in there, but they went in and they found out that it was bare of people. Food was still cooking on the fires. Now these people had been on a war campaign and they had captured the goods of cities all around. They had taken anything that was of value that they wanted to take back home to their country and live on. And it was all left behind. It was there. And the lepers, those four men, they ate until they were full. And they picked through the clothes and they saw the money. And then all of a sudden one of them says, hey, wait, this is not a good idea. If we don't share this, something worse is going to come up on us. I wonder if one of them was Gehazi. I don't have any proof about that. But we know the last time Gehazi took what didn't belong to him or tried to hoard it, something really, really bad happened. Maybe just the story had spread throughout the land to say, hey, that guy, you know, don't get greedy here. And they're looking around. So they go back to the gates of Samaria and they holler out at the gates of Samaria. And 2 Kings 7 and 17 says, and the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. And the people trod him in the gate, and he died as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down for him. What he said, he went back and said, hey, everything you need is in the enemy's camp. You're saved. We don't need to preach to each other to be saved. I'm not telling you to stay home. But our whole purpose is we're here to reach the lost. We're here to go and make disciples. We're here to warn people there is a hell. We're here to tell people there is a heaven and a new earth. We're here to tell people there is one Lord. There's one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all and through and in you all. We're here to tell them they must be born again of the water and spirit, or they cannot see or enter into the kingdom of heaven. We got a message in the enemy's camp. You know where the harvest is? It's in the enemy's camp. You know where the provision is? It's in the enemy's camp. You know where the supply is? It's in the enemy's camp. And these guys came back and said, hey, there's lots over there. They think it's a trick. And actually what happened is the king said, what are we going to do? And he says, I'll tell you what, send some soldiers out. And so they snuck out, and they sent four men out, one for each one of the lepers, and said, if they die, they die. If they come back, and the Bible says they go out, and they don't just find the enemy's camp empty and the fires burning, but they follow the trail, and they think maybe it's a trap. And all along the trail, there's clothes, and there's goods, and there's things of value that are laying alongside the road as the enemy's running. And then they abandon their animals when their animals wore out, and they went on foot. You know why? Because God sent a sound into their ears and made it sound like a great army coming after them. And they thought, oh no, the king of Egypt the king of Israel or Samaria has hired the Egyptians to come after us. We thought we had them, but now he has outside forces. And that mindset got a hold of them, and the enemy ran. He fled, because your enemy, my enemy, he does not know the end from the beginning. He knows yesterday. He knows what was. He knows his failures. He knows mine. But he also knows that one day he will be bound with chains and fetters and cast into the bottomless pit. He can't see the sequence of events that will bring deliverance to you and I, but he knows the God that we have. And they came back, and that's when this man got trampled in the gates of the city. In verse 18 it says, and it came to pass as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel and 1 measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And the Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows of heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. Now, here's the warning in the midst of it all. You and I, God has promised us something. And I don't know how God is going to work it out, but this has been eating at my heart, not in a negative way, but in a positive way for weeks now. And I was talking with one of my mentors and one of my confidants, an individual that speaks into my life, just yesterday. And I said, I've had this anticipation inside of me for days on end. And I can get up in the night and pray it through, and it doesn't go away. I can read the Bible, and it doesn't go away. I can meditate. I can listen to Christian songs, and you know, it feels like anxiety. Anybody ever feel anxiety? Every time somebody breathes on you, right? Every time you hear somebody go, oh. Every time, you know, it's like, oh, it's the end. And I'm not saying this COVID is not real, but you know, it's interesting that they're saying that Omicron might be the COVID killer. Because now people that get that are now immune to the first sweeping set, according to the research they've done in South Africa, where they revealed there was this new kind of COVID. I don't know. I don't know all the science of it. But I know if God be for me, who can be against me? I know God can keep me alive, even if they want me dead. Look what happened to John, the beloved. They tried to boil him in oil like a French fry, and it wouldn't work. That must have been creepy for the guys trying to boil him. I mean, special effects. They probably ran. Yeah, he's crawling out of the oil pot and they're running. Why? And they banished him to the Isle of Patmos. They said, well, let's get him on this rocky outcrop in the Mediterranean where we send all the political prisoners. And it was there that John the Baptizer, or John the Beloved, became John the Revelator. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he saw the revelation of Jesus Christ that we read as the last book of the New Testament. Our world is needy. And if you stand with me, I'm just going to preempt the rest of the scriptures. Thank you for putting those in for me. I might grab one of them. Amos 8:11 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. That's the famine we're facing in our land today. And I'm not going to call out names, but I'm not going to get up here and just say, oh, you know, sow $66 into this ministry and God's going to bless you. Or God just wants you to be happy. I mean, you think the apostles were always happy?
No.
They had peace and they had joy on the inside, right? There's a difference between happy and peace. There's a difference between happy and joy. That joy is resident inside of us. Because the apostles didn't feel victory because they had no opposition. It was because they knew they were doing what God called them to do. Amen. Is there anybody that feels like they just want to go into the enemy's camp? Yeah. Now me, you know my personality. A lot of you do. It's like, want some? Really? I mean, my mindset is I may go down, but I'm going to go down swinging. And maybe that's why God planted me here. Amen. We need to adopt that. We're not going to just roll over and play dead and say, everybody that wants to be saved in Portland, saved. Oh, come on. Give me a break. Why do you think there's such mayhem in the street? Why do you think they're involved in drugs and alcohol and immorality? They're searching for something to satisfy. You know, we've been there, done that. But now Jesus has set us free and we have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
sir.
You say, Pastor, going to the enemy's camp? What if? Oh, no. I'm going to the enemy's camp.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I want it back. Those people that walked out on God because they were filled with fear, come on back.
Yep. Amen. Hallelujah.
Those people that said, we're on lockdown. There's nowhere I'm going to go to church and let apostolic Pentecostal Christians breathe on me. I'll go to work and let sinners do that.
Yeah. So, have it.
You know, I'll go to the restaurant and let them breathe on me, but I'm not going to go to church and let them breathe on me. No way.
Come on.
It says, what if I go into the enemy's camp? Well, the leper says, if we just sit here, we're going to die.
That's true.
That's not the way I want to finish my days.
Jesus.
Are there any warriors in the house? Anybody? You know, we're not just lepers. We may feel like outcasts. Because we've been marginalized by some in the media. Right? Have you noticed that? And I read things, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I try not to read some articles when I see the titles. It says, man denied alone because he's a Christian. Man lost his job because he's a Christian. Well, that may be true, but I'm not working for this world.
Amen.
They're not in charge of my life anymore.
Amen.
He's in charge of my
Amen.
Life.
Hallelujah.
So I may be an outcast, and I may be living outside the walls because they say, no, we're not going to include you in our group.
That's all right.
But they're starving. They're dying. They're eating one another's children. They're giving up the next generation to survive themselves.
Yes.
And it may not be in eating their children, but they're giving away their moral constitution.
Yes.
They're giving away everything, and they're bankrupt. Why? Because the enemy has them trapped, but he doesn't have you and I trapped.
Amen.
No, we're not a part of that city. We're a part of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We're not lepers, but we're outcasts. And we say, hey, Joe, Mike, Blue, you ready to go to the enemy's camp? It's like, come on, say, want some? I mean, if they kill us, at least they, but who knows? They had no idea. It's kind of like Jonathan and his armor bearer, and all of Israel's held at bay by the enemies. And he says, let's go up and let's crawl over that hill, and it might be that God will work for us. And when they did, the enemy said, come up, we'll show you a thing or two. And Jonathan, his armor bearer, said, okay. And they came up and they made a slaughter. And the enemy began to melt away. And it was then that the rest of Israel said, what's going on up there? It looks like the enemy's on the run. Let's go fight the enemy while they're running. Who knows what kind of a firestorm you will cause by going to the enemy's camp.
Amen.
Maybe there's an Apostle Paul waiting in the wings. Maybe there's a persecutor that is saying, you know what, I fought hard against that, but now I'm changing.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I was on the wrong side. So today, I just want us to worship him. I want us to step forward. They're going to begin to sing. If you know the song, hopefully we can get it up on the screen. We're going to go and we're going to win. Does anybody want to go to the enemy's camp? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. Here I am, Jesus. I'm going in, God. Thank you for the victory.